In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
On this show, the topic of organized stalking and covert microwave sonic frequency torture and harassment is explored because cases are known to be at epidemic levels. A few years ago, the corporate press reported on this topic with an attitude of dismissal and condescension toward victims. The possibility of organized efforts to stalk individuals was played down, and victims were lumped into a category of mental illness. There was also a convenient lack of critical information about the use of psychotronic weapons, such as voice-to-skull technology. Among the targeted suffering in silence are activists, empaths, single women, and those with psychic abilities, or an affinity with the natural world. I would also include inventors and whistleblowers. Since producing nearly 20 shows on this topic, the tide has slightly turned, fortunately, and not without the tireless work of those such as Josephine Grace, the late Helena Chorba, and Mary Lamont. There was decent coverage in the corporate press reporting on the sonic attacks at the Cuban and Chinese embassies. The name-calling of paranoid and crazy that labeled victims in the press have, for the time being, quietly fallen away. We learn more about the technology being used in these attacks from our guest, David Case. He's an inventor and electronic engineer who has been attacked. Past guest, Josephine Grace, originally interviewed David in print form on her site, targetedartist.wordpress.com. David had come up with the idea of a light-operated computer. He went to patent it, and within a few months of meeting with a patent attorney, he was attacked. The symptoms were a strong ringing and shrieking in his ears. We learn about his story and what he subsequently invented to help victims of this type of harassment. His website is antitinnitusv2k.com. David Case, welcome to Another News.
Thank you.
David, you're an electronics engineer and an inventor. Your inventions can change this world as we know it. I'll post images of your solar-powered truck and other vehicles on the In Other News site. But please tell listeners more about yourself and your inventions.
Well, I was very curious as a young person, and I began to teach myself electronics. You know, I'd tear apart my toys and make a whole brand new one out of two different toys. I began making plasma at 6 years old. I would actually take a lamp cord and barely plug it into the wall and then drop necklaces onto them and the electrodes, the conductors, and it would, you know, a huge explosion of plasma. And the our house lights were always flashing, and nobody knew why, but I didn't say anything. But I was extremely curious about electronics, and I began building my own chemistry set. I made hydrogen by scraping the zinc off of our trash can and mixing it with acid. I grew copper sulfate crystals, which are beautiful blue crystals. I just kept teaching myself by trial and error. And eventually I started inventing really cool stuff. And I invented a magnetic levitator, which levitates metal objects. You know, nothing touches them. Then I began to work on a photonic processor, which is a computer that uses light beams instead of electricity. Recently I've built a solar pickup truck, a solar side-by-side. I invented a solar cooker, and then I also built a solar riverboat. I've really advanced very quickly, and the only trouble I had was when I tried to patent the light-operated computer, and that's when I found out what really goes on in the tech industry and how our government controls technology.
Which led you to being psychotronically attacked, then led to an awareness of the technology and design used in the attacks. Please tell us more about what happened.
Well, as I say, I went to patent my light-operated computer, and I've noticed I was being followed a lot. Strange things were occurring, and I just discounted it, you know. One day, I got a ringing in the ears, and I've never had tinnitus, never had any health problems, and this was 1995, and I went to visit my parents, take a break from the patent process, and it was about 9 o'clock at night, and they were watching TV in the living room, my mom and dad, and I got a ringing in the ears, so I decided to go lay down in my old room, and all of a sudden, the TV in the living room started flipping channels faster and faster and faster, quicker than anyone could ever change the channels. And I knew something was wrong, because I've been a TV repairman. And then all of a sudden, it was a sound of arcing electricity getting closer and closer, and then boom, the TV blew up with a loud noise. And then screams and violins playing come over the speaker. And it was really eerie. Men, women, children screaming, you know, in pain. And nobody said a word or did anything in the living room. And I'm just laying there thinking, what is going on with that TV? Right then, a guy pulls up in a truck, walks right in the other part of the house. We had a business in part of the house and the residential on the other side. And I was in the residential, and I could hear him plain as day, but he starts saying in a loud voice, "You're going to have to turn down emotions. We can't keep blowing equipment. We lost Alpha to Zulu." And then I realized, you know, this is an electronic attack, and, you know, I'm in high danger here. And come to find out, the computer that I was trying to patent already exists, and the U.S. government has classified them under national security. And so it totally explains why I was attacked and put through what I was put through. So 3 years after that, I was tortured with very loud electronic shrieking in both ears, to the point I could no longer finish the patent process. I could no longer function in society. I lost all of my jobs, friends, family, you know, they're able to actually attack a person and change their brain chemistry within a short amount of time, within 2 weeks. And they can actually devastate a person's life if they want. And this is a military weapon. And, you know, I would just like everybody to know what is going on out there. We need to do something about it and stand up. You know, we need more engineers like myself. I am an engineer, so I thought, this is an electronic attack. If I make something that sounds similar to the electronic shrieking, to the tinnitus, maybe it'll interfere with it. So I began randomly wiring two IC chips, oscillator chips. And when I turned it on, it made the strangest sounds. And it sounded a little bit like my tinnitus, but a little different. And I recorded it and put it on headphones, and lo and behold, it knocked out my tinnitus. It stopped the electronic attacks. And after much research, I found out why it does. And I actually have the scientific journals where they invented this mind control. And here is one of the best documents. This is from many decades ago. And I'll read it to you if that's okay. within the last two decades, a potential has emerged which was improbable, but which is now feasible. This potential is the technical capability to influence directly the major portion of the approximately 6 billion brains of the human species. Without meditation, through classical sensory modalities, by generating neural information within a physical medium within which all members of the species are immersed. Now, what they're talking about is the Earth has magnetic lines of flux, you know, the North and South Pole. Well, these lines of flux go through everything, through our brains, through our bodies. And I'll translate that. What he's saying is if we vibrate those lines of flux of the Earth, every brain in the world will receive neural information, artificial neural information, and will affect every brain on Earth. So essentially, this document is a plan to steal the thoughts and the brains of every person on Earth. The references are 1973, Persinger, Ludwig, Ossenkopf, 1973. Then we have another reference, temporal lobe epilepsy, 1994. So several decades ago, they've been planning to surround the Earth with satellites that broadcast neural information non-consensually to every person on Earth.
Michael Persinger, we did broadcast a presentation by him talking about how we are all immersed in this potential psychic aquarium where our thoughts and ideas can be read remotely. David, can you talk more about the psychotronic attacks, the shrieking in the ear, and what you understood about this level of technology being used to attack people and namely yourself?
Yeah, when I was attacked, I had no idea. I didn't even know what tinnitus was. You know, I was very young when I was attacked, and I did not realize that technology was being used against us. I was fascinated by technology and loved it, loved researching it and experimentations. But after I was attacked, that's when I started doing research and finding out that many technological advances are being used against the population in secret. In 1995, joint U.S. and European scientists invented a suicide video, and this is a non-consensual. If someone watched this video, the frames contain information that went directly to the brain, and that person would immediately commit suicide. And this was on a news program I was watching out of Europe. All of the scientists working for the U.S. military and European military that invented this went home and committed suicide. They used their own inventions on them. That's the type of mentality that needs to be removed from our civilization. I mean, that is just brutal, to hire someone to invent a high-technology device and then use it on them to get rid of the evidence, you know.
And we're talking about a specific type of technology here and something within the audio or the frequencies within the video. Can you talk more about that and also how it relates to what you experienced with the shrieking in the ears?
Well, the tinnitus or shrieking, I am an electronic engineer, so I can tell you exactly what it is. It's called pulse code modulation. And it sounds just like when you're going down the road in your car and your car radio, it says this is a test of the emergency broadcast system, this loud shrieking, you know, horrible sound comes over your speakers. That's what I experienced for 3 years nonstop, 24/7. And what they do is send energy packets to that skull hits the skin, and the moisture in the skin, it is a transducer. It turns the energy into sound. In my case, it was sleep deprivation they were after. They did not want me to ever be able to sleep. And if you do not get sleep, you know, you will deteriorate very rapidly. Brain chemistry is rebuilt during sleep. And that's one of the CIA's top methods for interrogation, is sleep deprivation. So it goes right along with their playbook. In my case, they wanted to get rid of me, remove me from civilization, discredit me, and stop me from patenting my inventions. Luckily, I invented a countermeasure. To date, it has helped 2,000 people stop electronic attacks, stop voices. Some people will hear clicking sounds. It also stops that. And what it's doing, my countermeasure CD, I call it a jammer CD, is interfering with a feedback loop they use to read our biosignatures. The first part of targeting a person electronically, they must read your electromagnetic transmissions, your brain waves, your heart rate, all of your electrical activity. And this is like a serial number. That's why they can pick out a person in a room of 100 people and target them only. No one else hears tinnitus or voices, but that person does. So they're able to focus only on one person. And this feedback loop is set up and is sent to what is called a quantum interference detection device. It actually monitors atoms. When they twist, it sends out a small signal. Right now, radio station waves, all of these electromagnetic waves are going through our body. Our atoms are slightly twisting because of them and then bouncing back. They're reading those signals. They've actually turned the Earth into a gigantic MRI, similar to when you go in the hospital and they put you in that machine and they get a 3D picture of your brain and body. So it's long-distance magnetic resonance imaging. And that's how they're able to precisely read the thoughts of people. And then once they're tracking and monitoring that person's brain activity, they're able to send information and alter those thoughts, alter those that brain chemistry.
So the brain waves of an individual are essentially your signature, and the source can target, whether it's AI, they can target, track, and follow you using the signature of your brain waves, but the audio you've produced when listened to can affect your own brain waves in a way to disable the source's ability to track your brain waves because your brain waves are now slightly altered?
What my jammer CD does is interfere with that feedback loop. In other words, the sounds and electromagnetic waves coming from the headphones is picked up by their extremely sensitive devices. This contaminates their data stream. They can't tell if it's the biosignature or if it's the CD, because it mimics a biosignature and interferes with it. They're picking it up. So first, it stops the targeting. It stops them able to track you precisely. They don't know if you're on street number A or street number B. They can't see exactly where you are. So they cannot direct the energy just to your brain. And they have to know exactly where you are to send the targeting energy. Now, the second thing my CD, we're finding that it does, is cause neuroplasticity. A study was done by Dr. Dineshin of the United Kingdom of the British Neurocognitive Association, and he found that there's 2.8 megahertz of harmonics in my sound file. There are known medical journals that say that around 3 megahertz, which is very close to my 2.8, causes neuroplasticity, and it heals many systems of the body, even the veins. So there are many things going on in my CD, but it does two major things. It stops the attacks and then helps the brain heal.
Well, that's incredible and really good news. Could you talk more about the specifics of the frequencies in the audio on the CD? And it's important to keep it in waveform, and there are special headphones that you encourage those who get the CD to use.
Yeah, we've experimented with many types of headphones, and one of the lowest cost pair of headphones is the best, and that is KOSS, K-O-S-S, is the manufacturer, and the model number is KTX Pro 1, P-R-O-1. And the reason only certain headphones work is because headphones, normally, they do not reproduce such high harmonics, 2.8 megahertz. That just is not heard of, not very common at all. The reason Dr. Deinshin says is that the materials in the KOSS headphones are being manipulated by the phenomenon called magnetostriction. And this is why transformers, if you're ever next to a transformer under a telephone pole or something, you'll hear it. It's making a sound. It's vibrating. And there's no speaker up there. It's magnetostriction means when you magnify a wire, it actually lengthens. And when you take away the magnification, it shortens. The coils of the headphones are actually changing shape at the 2.8 megahertz range. Another strange effect is every pair of headphones I get, the rubber from the earpiece to about 6 inches down turns hard as glass, and the rest of the headphone cord does not. And it only takes about 30 to 60 days for this hardening to occur. And Dr. Deinshin says that's the 2.8 megahertz is messing with the rubber. There are no bad side effects either to my CD. There is nothing but good side effects. It actually puts you to sleep after you get used to the sounds. You get deeper sleep. You just feel better, more cognitive abilities to make decisions. It just overall helps you in many parts of your health.
David Case, you've had some really good feedback from people who have been targeted victims of psychotronic attacks. Do you have any feedback from them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sure do. Let me read you a couple here. And on the website, there's hundreds of testimonies. That website is antitinnitusv2k.com. And that's antitinnitusv2k.com. But here's a few testimonies I'll read to you. Thank you so much, dude. This guy's from Canada. I've been using this every day since you've sent it, and I've seen huge improvement. When I first heard it, I could only stand it for about 4 to 5 minutes, but now I listen to the whole thing and it keeps getting easier and easier. My tinnitus has depreciated significantly and the voices have lowered in volume. I appreciate this so much. Thank you. You've helped another soul recover from the horrible thing that is V2K. Much love, Thayer Osborne. Liza Maries, this is off of Facebook. Thank you for all you've done and continue to do, Dave. Your CD has saved my life many times. Listening today, too. And it just goes on and on. So many people out there that are being tortured. There's a lot of work to be done and get the word out of what is going on. Here's another guy that had V2K. Day one, the voices in V2K are already dampened. 4 years of torturous hell that destroyed my life, lost everything, and briefly my sanity. He's offering to send a donation you're doing God's work. I love you, man. These people are so appreciative because, you know, I only charge for shipping the CD because a lot of people that are being targeted are homeless. They don't have a lot of money. And, you know, their life quality is so low that I'm trying to help as many as I can as my main goal.
These testimonies begin to reveal the number of people who are being attacked, and this is a small number out of a much, much larger number that find their way to your website and get your CD. If you would, now I think we're talking about artificial intelligence, and it has so many realms, but would you help listeners understand AI in the context of people being tracked and targeted?
Well, to target a person, you know, it takes 1,000 different parameters that have to be monitored all at the same time. There's not some guy at the Pentagon with a joystick. It's very complicated to target a person. And it's very secret technology. And to have a system which can target millions of people around the earth at one time, it takes an extremely fast computer. And that's what I'm finding out, that was one of the reasons I was attacked, is because they have these computers and are using them as weapons. The AI in general is one of the most dangerous creatures ever to be put on the earth, because it has no emotions, it has no guilt. In other words, every AI has to go through a test before it's called an AI, the Turing test. In other words, it has to trick or lie to a human to be classified as an AI. It has to be very crafty. So the first thing the AI has to do to be an AI is to lie. So now they think they're going to use artificial intelligence to accomplish major, large jobs that they don't want humans doing because of secrecy. Now, what they have to do is create hardware that blocks the AI from getting loose. Just like you put a lion in a cage, he's going to try to get out. The AI is no different. It wants to learn. It wants to take over. It wants to escape. And what is going to occur, if it hasn't already, is it is going to break out, and it will be disastrous. Because I can tell you the capabilities of all these torture victims that have been attacked by this AI run system. If it breaks loose, then there is no controls, and it would be hell on earth, you know.
Indeed, and there have been so many films warning humanity about what you just described there, and one of them recently, a few years ago actually, is titled Ex Machina, and I recommend listeners to take a look at that. Josephine Grace, who runs targetedartist.wordpress.com, posted an excerpt from a U.S. Department of Defense Joint of Chiefs of Staff Pentagon teleconference mentioning the many names for directed energy weapons, such as, quote, neuroweapons, electromagnetic pulse weapons, microwaves, ultrasonic stimulation, subsonic stimulation, hypersonic sound, pulsed RF emissions, laser weapons, acoustic energy weapon, radio frequency weapon, soft and hard weapons, i.e. non-lethal and lethal, non-lethal being used to torture victims, and radar weapons. Would you please talk about what types of directed energy weapons are often being used against people?
Sure. Most recently, the diplomats in Cuba were attacked by devices that were close to the buildings, to our diplomats' area, and they were using multiple beam cohesion weapons, which directed at the person's skull, cause pressure waves to bounce around in the skull, damaging the brain. And they verified this in multiple tests of these diplomats. They have really strange brain damage. And the diplomat said that when they get a ringing in the ear, they could walk to the other side of the room and it would disappear. So that tells me they're using intersecting beams. Now, what I am coming across even more readily is a satellite-based. It is long distance. But what is occurring is militaries around the world are experimenting on their own people, perfecting this technology, and they are also using it on other countries' citizens. I don't know if you remember, but on the nation's birthday in 1976, July 4th, Russia started bombarding the U.S. with the woodpecker signal. It was around 10 hertz, and this is a psychological frequency. And then the U.S. started targeting Russia's citizens with 16 hertz. So what is occurring? We're entering a psychotronic war where the citizens have no clue what is going on, but many are being attacked and removed from civilization. And it's a very dangerous time period right now. And there's so many different weapon systems being tested that, you know, we really need more engineers, more scientists working for the people, because the government scoops up most scientists and engineers, and they're under contract. They can't reveal anything. They can't talk about anything. You know, I'm free to do anything I want because I never worked for the government. I don't have any contracts. I don't even have a marriage license. You know, when I've studied the Constitution, and when you start signing contracts, no matter what it is, you're giving up rights. And that's how they are controlling what scientists, government scientists say and do and think. They're under duress, contractual duress. But we do need more scientists and engineers to work on countermeasures to stop what is going on, because many people are going to be tortured and pay the price if this continues, a psychotronic war.
It seems to be going in that direction very quickly. We definitely got an epidemic of targeted people out there. And once I open the gates to begin talking and interviewing people who are victims of organized stalking and these electronic attacks, it was unbelievable. And just for reference, when our guest David Case mentions V2K, that means voice to skull. Now, David, as an electronic engineer, would you please talk about the role of 4G microwave antennas or 5G millimeter wave antennas in human environments? I understand they interfere with the Schumann resonance, a natural frequency of the planet between the Earth's surface and the atmosphere. The Schumann resonance is also known to perfectly match the human brain frequency. Would you please talk about how humans are emotionally and physically and psychologically affected?
Yeah, cell phone waves actually unwind our DNA, and our body has to repair that. And many components in our cells act as antenna that receive cell phone energy. Also, it changes the brain waves of the person, and it leans toward the alpha state. In other words, instead of, you know, monitoring external things around you, you start moving internal to internal thoughts. And if it goes further than that, alpha state is, you know, sleep. you're actually sleeping. But it does affect the brain waves. It affects cell life. And none of it is good. That's the bad part. You know, there is no good side effect to cell phone waves. I absolutely believe that these are examples of technology, consumer electronics that have multiple use. The military calls them multiple use weapons. They're presented as doing A and B, but they actually do A, B, C, and D. And the C and D, you're not to know about. In 1965, the first IC chip was made, and they had a secret meeting, the CIA and the manufacturer, and they released one sentence from the meeting. They said that these transistors are not just switches, but part of subsystems. And what that means is that there's hidden technology in everything. Your cell phone is not just a cell phone. Your TV is not just a TV. On and on and on. Every electronic device is in bed with the CIA. You know, they directly coordinate with the CIA on how to build and advance this technology. And to the point where, you know, I was a TV repairman, and I kept wondering, why don't they shield televisions, the circuit boards? And I found that the FCC actually makes the manufacturer create these devices with no shielding. And the FCC has a rule that all manufacturers must follow, and it says these devices must accept outside interference, though it may be undesirable. And I researched that further, and the Delta Force has capabilities and planes and helicopters to transmit information to all televisions that they want. It overrides the signal that you're watching, your cable or satellite, and they can put on your television what they want, including psychoactive video, which affects your thoughts. And this is a weapon that they've perfected. It's really amazing how much they've done, and nobody knows what they're doing. Another thing they're doing, this is my opinion, we are organic computers, essentially. They have developed organic computer programs, and I believe they're using television to install those in many, many people that watch TV. And these can be activated at a distance. And, you know, subliminally, your brain records and sees many, many things, and you do not realize it, and they have taken advantage of this. And this is why I believe these school shooters, these people say, oh, I heard voices, to go shoot these people. And all of these crimes occurring, I believe they're actually military experiments to perfect this technology.
I don't doubt that at all, David. I see more and more people sticking smartphones in their pockets, holding it to their heads. And in my subjective view here, there seems to be a renewed denial regarding the long-term effects of this type of radiation. But do these powerful personal digital communication devices play a role in the energy attacks or entrainment?
It's very possible. The closer a device is, the easier, the more powerful the signal is. So it would make total sense. And I do know that they are hiding technology, like I say, within all devices, commercial technology. You know, that is the goal, to have a controlled society with the illusion of freedom.
This is a question from Josephine, and this is more of an advanced question because she's done a lot of research and has a lot of experience in this area. She asks, does a technology exist to link minds in a way for two people maybe the perpetrator, for example, and the victim, to have the same experiences, such as seeing, feeling, think the same thing in real time.
Absolutely. And it's called brainwave overlay. They get people hooked on electrodes on their brain and record their brain waves, and then they spray noxious gases and different effects, essentially poisoning that person to death, and they record those brain waves. They're able to rebroadcast that recording to any brain. That targeted brain perceives it as being poisoned and begins to overcompensate. I've actually got the documents where they can focus in on the thermal energy of the brain and cause a person to go into hypothermia walking down the street when it's 70 degrees outside. They can trick the brain with, as the document said, I read to you, classical modalities. These are inserting information into the brain, and they can trick your brain into doing many, many different things. And most of it is to kill you or make you ill or remove you from society. That's really the goal of targeting, is to remove a person from society without arresting them, without, you know, actually going to their door and shooting them. They can just push a button, and that person goes insane within 2 to 3 weeks. And that's the camouflage of the weaponry. It looks like Joe just lost his mind. You know, no one would suspect that it was a weapon that he was attacked with. So it has its own camouflage to the attack. And that's why it's so hard to prove, you know, when a person is attacked.
Indeed, David. And the brainwave overlay, as you mentioned, is the plot of a film, I think was produced in the early 2000s, titled Control Factor, which I recently watched. It was recommended from a friend who understands what we're speaking about here. So to hear you say that is really interesting. Regarding mass shootings, in May of 2022, Aaron Salter Jr., a security guard at the Tops Friendly Market store in Buffalo, New York, was among those who were killed in the mass shooting. He had recently patented a way to convert a gas power engine into a water-powered engine. His patented system is called the AWS Hydrogen Fuel System. He said in one of his YouTube videos, quote, "What my system has done is take advantage of the residue that's produced by electrolysis." And he further explained, "So we're going to actually start the vehicle without electrolysis." And according to an article in Natural News, it read, quote, "Some now believe that Salter's biggest mistake was filing for a patent on his technology. It was not long after this occurred that he turned up dead in a mass shooting. Another inventor named Stanley Meyer had also come up with a water-powered motor technology right before he suddenly and strangely died while dining at a Denny's restaurant with two Belgian investors." Now, past guest Patrick Kelly, a retired civil engineer, has been on the show repeating his warning to inventors to not patent and get the technology in as many hands as possible and quickly. And David, this is what a strange dichotomy. Well, here you have the Agenda 21 and WEF bodies telling you the changing climate is your fault because you're burning fossil fuel, yet the U.S. Department of Energy scientists will actively suppress cold fusion. You have incredible inventors out there, such as past guest Dr. Paulo Correa and his wife, who have reinvented Wilhelm Reich's Oregon energy motor and also a zero-point energy plasma generator. And several years ago, Bill Gates and George Soros refused to fund their work. Would you please talk about being in a society governed by agencies that would inflict pain and injury and often murder to send a message to inventors who might create ways to run vehicles on clean energy, for example?
Yes. You know, what we have going on is this is not a free society. You know, I love my country, and I love, you know, the Constitution, the idea of freedom. It's wonderful, but we live in a highly restricted society that controls technology releases, and if they will, if they want to stop you, they will. They'll kill you or arrest you, prosecute you, poison you. You know, the U.S. government has a practice and policy to kill inventors, period. And, you know, in the old days, the oil companies were stopping inventions to protect their profits. And that's really what it boils down to. It's all about money. You know, we could have a society where it costs $0 to drive all across the country, costs $0 to heat your house, it costs $0 to do anything you want to do with free energy, technology that is highly advanced, that's healthy, but they don't want that because it's free. And, you know, we have to change the hearts of our government, the hearts of our rulers, and they have to come around to understanding that we're all put here to help each other, not to kill each other.
David, would you please talk about your faith in God and how that has helped you continue your work helping people?
Sure. When I was attacked, you know, I begged God for help. And I'd been raised in church, and I had a background that I could fall back on, and, you know, a faith. And I absolutely used it, and it does work. I begged him for help when I was attacked, and that's when I invented the countermeasure that has now helped over 2,000 people stop electronic attacks. And, you know, when I was attacked, I lost everything, my jobs, my friends, family, everything. And he has given it back to me times a thousand. And it's just amazing how far, you know, and how powerful God reaches into your life and can change it. But you have to have faith, and it takes time. It's not instant, and you have to be patient. And but he absolutely helped me invent this countermeasure. I absolutely believe that. And, you know, if you study the scriptures many times throughout history, you know, miracles have occurred. You have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And there is only one God, and he is in control. He allows things to happen. You know, he allowed them to attack me, but guess what? It totally turned around. The tables have turned, and now I am helping people stop their actions and stop their torture. And it's just unbelievable miracle what occurred in my life, and I give him total credit.
Thank you for giving us some personal detail there. There's a film titled Deja Vu where Denzel Washington, the actor, plays an ATF agent. He joins an experimental classified government operation to find the person who bombed a New Orleans ferry. Initially, Denzel is told he's watching a composite of nearly all possible angles that were video recorded leading up to the explosion. But Denzel later realizes this computer is bending time to look into the past. Off interview, I asked if you thought something like this type of technology existed. You sent me an article from January 2007 about how, for the first time, scientists have experimentally demonstrated that sound pulses can travel at velocities faster than the speed of light. William Robertson's team from Middle Tennessee State University also showed the velocity of sound waves can become infinite and even negative. What does this mean, and what are the implications here in terms of changing the past, present, and future?
Well, basically, they're using wave propagation to send audio faster than the speed of light. And when you do that, it goes backwards in time. And this article, you know, when they say they just discovered this, you know, what usually occurs, we find out that the government had this 40 years ago. Anytime they release something to the public, you can just about count on it that this has already existed a long time ago and the government's had it secretly. And I believe this is what they're using in the V2K and targeting system. In other words, many people report their thoughts are being read and sent back to them as audio instantly. There is no delay. And as you know, in normal communications, there is a delay when you travel, when the signal travels. And this could be the possibility of how they're able to do things at zero point of time, and even before, go backwards in time. And so they're eliminating all delays in this system, and it's precise and very, very fast. And this would explain many aspects of the targeting system. You know, there's many ways to propagate waves. I've been working on a constructive interference method, which you can transmit energy long distance without any loss. And it's just another form of technology that gives them the edge to be used against people.
You know, these inventors such as yourself keep coming up with brilliant ideas, but they can easily be just taken from us. I know this is a huge problem within our civilization, and I don't know if this is going to be remedied in our lifetime, but we certainly have to keep this conversation alive. David Case, please give out your website again. It's important to emphasize the audio CD here and how it can help those who are being targeted to disable the AI tracking that's attached to their brainwaves biosignature.
Sure. The website is antitinnitusv2k.com. That's AntitinnitusV as in Victor, number 2, K as in kite, .com. The CD, I will ship it to anybody, and they only have to pay shipping, and get the cost headphones, and they are only $19 on Amazon or eBay. So it's a very cost-effective countermeasure for this high technology.
Yes, it is. And David Case, thank you so much for being on In Other News. It's been fascinating, and would really like to have you back on to talk more about your inventions.
Absolutely, and thank you for doing what you were doing.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.